the trouble with money. I swear I'll be a millionaire.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? If trouble was money, I think most of us will be millionaires. We could buy the whole world and still have money to spare. That's Albert Collins, one of my favorite blues singers and musicians, just the blues masters, one of the greatest. Albert Collins with If Trouble Was Money. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Tuesday, October the 1st. The first day. I'm sure you ran and signed up at your exchanges, which are open today, to sign up for Obamacare. It's the first day to do that, and it's the first day, officially, of the federal government's partial shutdown. And we have about 800,000 jobs on the line, and all kinds of explanations as to who is doing the right thing and who's more patriotic than the other, who is looking out for the country and all of that kind of stuff. But we have all those explanations coming today, and they really don't have very much meaning at this point. What is more important is for people to understand that this is the not just the nature of government, but the nature of the thinking of government. And their thinking is they have ultimately the power to do whatever they wish to do. And they don't have to ask or consult with anybody. They can just do what they want to do. And people just will have to learn to live with the consequences of the government's actions. This is really a keen reminder of a theme I've been talking about for quite some time, this notion that we have of democracy. And we associate democracy with voting. And democracy really isn't about voting in the end. Democracy really is about the ability of individuals, of citizens, to control government so that when they say no, the government understands that they say no. We have little or no access. We have practically no access to the throttle and brake of government. Government does whatever it wants to do. And because government now is mostly of wealthy people who no longer understand the suffering and the needs of people, they understand only their needs, their wants, and they understand also their rights. Ultimately, they have unchallenged right to do whatever they wish to do. They're functioning not unlike any other gang, like any other pack of hoodlums, like any other mob. There is a mob mentality in government, and it's showcased now, and now they having been so thoroughly embarrassed by their own stupidity and their own ineptness, they're now trying to put spins on what it is we know it is, and the rest of the world sees what it is, the great, mighty superpower that runs around the world ramming democracy down the throats of everybody with drones and bullets and bombs. And here at home, it can't get even the basic things done, like getting on with government in a democratic way. Well, today is your day to make your voices heard about that and about anything else. You know, it's happened. We don't necessarily have to go there. Wherever it is you wish to go, that's where the conversation goes, because that's the principle of open forum. We have an open forum for your ideas. The number is 888-874-4888, and let's talk. We had quite a few interesting opinions shared yesterday with me, and I'd like to read some of them. We have here, while you get ready for your phone calls, this is Ray speaking, and Ray, this is Ray writing. He says, I wanted to let you know how stellar your commentary on Obamacare, also known as Affordable Care Act, also known as the Affable Con Man Act, has been these past few days. You really have been getting to all the things I've been yelling to myself about for months. And I have an idea that I present to you in hopes that you might mention it on your show, and that furthermore, it might magically show up as an amendment to this atrocious piece of law or tax. Squeaky wheel gets the grease and all that. The amendment is, all those who have to pay a fine for not enrolling in Obamacare will receive monetary vouchers from the federal government for the full dollar amount of the fine, and that these vouchers must be accepted as payment by licensed healthcare practitioners, hospitals, clinics, or medical labs, etc., and cannot be refused. You think you're smarter than me? Here's back at you, suggestion. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air. Thank you.
Hi, Utrice. Well, very good. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm hanging in here.
All right. Well, we're all hanging in together, including the world here. We're all hanging on by our fingernails. Well, last week, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, part of a UN, said that that human race, the human beings, are 95% responsible for global boiling. I don't call it even global warming, but global boiling, since about 1950. And, you know, we've been pumping, you know, all the cars. We have a billion cars doing two rush hours a day. We have all the military apparatus in the world, the planes, you know, whatever they have. We have all the trains, all the ships at sea, all the planes in the sky, all the agricultural equipment. It's just all the recreational things that we do with. It's all, you know, we are just all the coal-fired natural gas, nuclear, and power plants. We're just pumping that CO2 into the atmosphere, and there's no denying it that we are responsible for this. And what's happening is that the gloves are off as far as the coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear power, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I mean, now that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has come out and said that they're going to bring up every scientist, everything they can, to deny it, because that means that we don't need them anymore. And their answer is something that Gary talked about last week. They want to put there's a substance called titanium dioxide, and that's the white in white paint. And they want to put a nano-thin layer of titanium dioxide in the upper atmosphere. It's also used in sunscreen, and essentially create a sunscreen for the world. And this would cut down on the amount of sunlight hitting the planet. And that's their answer to cooling global warming. But at the same time, it would diminish the efficiency of solar power, and so we'd have to turn even more to coal, natural gas, nuclear, and oil to get our energy, and it would create even more greenhouse gases. So this could be an endless loop that we got caught in, and I think it could destroy the planet. So I think that it really is, you know, time to get to go beyond. We have the technology to get beyond coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear. We have photovoltaics, that's light to electricity. We have thermoelectric, heat to electricity, piezoelectric, that's pressure to electricity. And none of them require any water in the generation of clean, renewable electricity. So we really have to move on. It's the time. And I say it's time to get star powered. Let's get solar. That's what I say.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Trace.
It could always depend on you to get the our weekly connection with ecological alternatives. Thank you so much for your call today. 888-874-4888. Here's Lois Bedrock saying, thank you for the show on the Deplorable Affordable Health Care Act. It will positively affect the health insurance companies. Of course, it means it won't affect the patients. He refers to an article by Chris Hedges, and maybe if you do that, at www.truthdig.com, Chris Hedges has an article that you may want to take a read of. He says, Obama is a spawn of the open sewer that is Chicago's Democratic machine. I wished I believed in God and divine justice. It would be comforting to imagine the Obamas and the Clintons, especially ex-bagwoman Hillary, burning in hell. Well, you know, there's a signal today, CNN, has canceled the series that was supposed to be about Hillary Clinton without explanation. They just canceled it. So that's the end of that tune. People are catching on that in some cases the Clintons are not nearly as popular as the major media would have it, you know, and the Clintons themselves. I mean, Bill Clinton has surfaced as if he's still president. And he's having news conferences and chiming in and bolstering, of course, Obama. And it is very important. People wondering, well, why is Bill Clinton so, you know, upfront about these things? Why is he so obvious? Well, of course, this health care plan is really, he has a vested interest in it. He's deeply invested in this plan, as is Hillary Clinton. You know, remember, we talked about the fact that this plan essentially was the plan that she concocted in secret when she was co-president of the United States and also the self-anointed cabinet member in charge of health care. So this couple, the Clintons, they have a vested interest in how this goes. There's a lot of, how should I say, a lot of appreciation to come if this plan succeeds. And there is every effort to make this thing work. They got to make this thing work. And, you know, this is the first year of Obama's last four-year term. And it's practically, you know, we're heading toward the end of the year now, which means it's only three more years to go. And the plan will have to be tinkered with and, you know, just updated in the remaining 3 years. But there's a lot riding on this plan working. They've got to make it work. They've got to get the people to, you know, present themselves and throw themselves into this grinding machine, because that is the bottom line of this thing working. They've got to do it. So Clinton has surfaced because he has a vested interest here. This has got to work. This is, after all, their plan. So that's why you see the Clintons around. They also are looking at if if Hillary Clinton were to run in 2016, and frankly, I don't care one way or the other whether she runs, we'll know. I'm not part of the Hillary Clinton presidential run watch. But this would be something that she would be able to boast about in her campaign, that it was her vision that brought this about. And so this also is part of a possible presidential run, because this would be a huge feather in her cap, and she would be now, you know, very clear and very clear about the fact that this is her handiwork that was then given to Obama to bring to fruition. This is how it works. 888-874-4888. I was wondering what you were thinking as well about this concept that we've been dealing with. And yesterday, it was very powerful. Caller Hugh from Manhattan really hit, there was a word that he talked about, debasement. And it just hit me in the head. It's a very loaded word. But that is the feeling that we feel, this nation feels today. We feel debased, both about the process and about the outcome, because this is not supposed to happen. And the reason we feel that is there's a profound objection based on what we are told the democratic process is. And democracy is not working. It certainly shouldn't work like this. And therefore, what is the average person, whether you're Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. You know, none of the ideological labels that people wear matters. The idea now is, how does one feel about the process? And you can't help but feel debased today. I mean, you just can't help it. It's a very nasty feeling. You feel used, abused as a citizen of the country. And it has been made clear, abundantly clear to all of us, that the power structure is impervious to the influence of the people. It is just impervious to it. Sarah from Dallas, you're on the air.
Greetings to you, Utrice.
Hello.
Well, Utrice, very interesting show. I enjoyed the conversation on yesterday that you had, as well as the many callers, and it was most informative.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Which tied right into this discussion that's going on today with this shutdown. And as you have said, Utrice, all along, these people are all in this together. Because this was totally ridiculous and this was totally selfish. They were playing this good cop, bad cop routine to try and say, oh, no, it's the Democrats, because right now I'm hearing all of these so-called, the usual talking heads. They're going to run out here and say, oh, these was the Republicans' fault. They wouldn't negotiate and blah, blah, blah. But it was all their fault. They were all in on this together because, as you stated, this so-called Obamacare, this is going to be a gift that is going to keep on giving to the healthcare industry, the pharmaceutical company, but not to us and not to our pocketbook. So even if they had to negotiate it and take it off the table, delay it or whatever it is that they wanted to do initially by one more year in order to get whatever done, some kind of compromise could have been made. But these people, they were not willing to do anything. I had the misfortune of hearing Helena Holmes Norton on the air talking our usual party line rhetoric, and it just totally disgusted me. I just have to turn it off.
And what's funny is that her district, which should have been a state by now, the District of Columbia, the impact of Obamacare in Washington, D.C. is overwhelming because it is poor people, and these poor people are going to have to take on the burden of some kind of expense every month that they can't afford. And even the whole trick to this is even if you can afford the basic expense, and you buy into Obamacare, let's say, you are, of course, committed to an additional expense, which is hard for most people, especially African Americans and Latinos and working poor people. But you buy it, but it doesn't mean that you could afford to use it.
Exactly.
Because once you have it, you know you have to meet that monthly expense. But if you get sick while you have so-called coverage, the premiums are supposedly low, but the deductible is very high.
Exactly. That's the same thing you treat that I was saying. You treat. I don't know if you know Elder Vernelia Randall. She is a law professor.
Please get her on the program.
Please get her back on the air, because I happened to hear her on a couple of shows, and she explained this, because she is a practitioner, and she broke this down in simple terms so that folks could understand where she's coming from. It is not going to help us. We are running around here wanting to get this because a so-called black president put this on the table, and everybody wants to sip on this tainted Kool-Aid and thinking that it's going to benefit them. It is not going to benefit us. You, as you said, you're not going to be able to make your deductible. So what if I'm going to be working just to pay for health insurance that I can't afford to even get sick?
You know, they say very casually, oh, well, you know, it's only going to be like about $278. Oh, really? It's only $278 a month, or $378 for the middle tier coverage? You know, are they out of their minds? Have they not looked at the statistics and seen what people are actually experiencing in this economy? The African American community has the highest rate of unemployment at all levels since the 1920s. Since the 1920s, unemployment is at the highest it's ever been in the African American community. Unemployment in the Latino community is high. Unemployment among whites, working class whites, is high. Unemployment is just high. So when you're talking about these things very casually, like it's not a big deal, just sign up. That's all they need, because the minute you're in that system, you are enmeshed in, as you call it, the gift that keeps on giving. You're not getting out of that anytime soon.
No, you're not, Eutrice, because, which is why, as you said, people did not even read this bill. They went with certain bullet points that have been put on the air by, we know, the usual talking heads who get their talking points from the White House. They feed it into them, and everybody start repeating it, sounding like clones, like their Stepford wives and husbands on these airwaves, and they didn't take the time to look into it, because it is not going to benefit you. You're not going to be able to get it. Most times, you treat, as you said, when most of us get illness, we are at stage four. We have, you know, months left before we're ready to kick all of out of here. I have a couple friends of mine that have checked out of this life, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, within a matter of months, and they are gone, no longer on the planet.
They know the statistics. Don't forget, a whole team of actuaries have pretty much put together this plan. They know what the profile looks like. They know the medical possibilities. They know what the average lifespan is for blacks, Latinos, poor whites.
Mm-hmm.
They know all these things. And they have come up and concocted a program that will work, but not necessarily deliver quality health care. It will work magnificently for the insurance industry and the medical industry, but it's not going to work really in terms of improving health care for the people who historically have not had access to health care. That is the issue.
And I agree with you.
I mean, if you look even at how the so-called progressives in Congress have responded, even Bernie Sanders, the guy who usually stands alone as the voice of the people, he was firmly in the Democratic party camp.
As usual.
So we have to side with them. You know, so when you see that, you go, well, geez, all, I mean, who is really speaking for the base? And this is the problem. The base is the base are the same people who made Obama a political entity. This is what is so reprehensible about this president. The base, who are now going to be looked at as fodder for this new campaign, which was not explained to people. This has not been explained to Americans at all. They figure, look, we came up with something. Trust us. We know what's best. Go along with the program. Sign up. And sign up today. They need, on a day-by-day basis, they need to know exactly how many people have signed up because they're working toward a magic number. I don't know what that number is, but they have to have a magic number that gives them the assurance that the system has what it needs in order to work, in order to derive profits. So they're working like heck for within the Black and Latino communities, especially. And poor people, get in.
The Black community, you freak, because I've switched on quite a few so-called urban radio stations to hear what the dialogue was going to be about today, and it has all been about getting people to go and sign up for this. Now, I'm not signing up. Myself and my husband, we got our little letters in the mail from our to tell us to sign up, and I already told them, I said, I'm not signing up. If you want to, I can't make a decision for you. You can decide, but do not put me onto no group, nothing, because I am not going to do it. I'm going to buck the system, so to speak. I'm going to be the lone one standing out here because they're not getting my information or my stats into their system, in this corrupt system, to add up into whatever they're trying to do.
Well, doing the plain math, plain arithmetic, it does not make sense to me. It would not make sense to me to sign up. It just doesn't make sense. It makes sense for me. We heard from, I believe it was Carolyn yesterday from Philadelphia. It makes sense to pay the fine and pay for service as I go.
Yep, which is what I do anyway. I pay as I go. I only go for well checkups during the year. I have never had surgery with the exception of going to give birth to my two children. I've never really been in a hospital for anything catastrophic, thank goodness. And it does not make sense for me to have to go and be a part of this foolishness that they're putting out here, that they're trying to get all of these people to go into. These people, they just want to get numbers. Because if you have a serious illness, you treat like a really deadly form of pancreatic cancer or something like that, you can rest assured that you're not going to get the quality care or even any type of care that you would come to expect that you were supposed to be given.
And they know well that I agree that the health care is way too costly in the United States. Nobody disagrees with that. But let's look at where the costs are incurred. It is not through the consumer. The consumer of healthcare services is not accounting for the dramatic increases in costs of providing healthcare, and we don't see them attacking, the Medicaid mills. Everybody feasting on the poor. That's the problem. Everybody gets a piece of the poor, and the poor get less than what is needed to head off medical issues and to maintain good health. They know that. They know these things. It's not the consumer of medical services who accounts for the dramatic increases in costs. The pharmaceutical industries, again, the individual hospitals that have all kinds of programs of their own in order to attract doctors and to attract federal subsidies and federal money, they increase their costs, and they get away with it. The insurance industry is not even well regulated, but now the government has joined the industry. And these are things that people should be asking. How is it you are for free market economies? You're for free market, you know, capitalism in every instance. But now with healthcare, you become part of the industry yourself. Isn't that a contradiction?
It is, Utrecht.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to say this, Utrecht, and get off the line. This is going to be a rallying call for the usual talking heads to tell the troops, to get the troops in line, that you need to go out there and vote next year as if though you're crazy, because this is why we need to vote. This is going to be the main topic from here on out until midterm election, to keep the same people who voted against us, to keep them in office. That's going to be the, you know, which is insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, but the same talking heads going to tell these folks, you need to go and vote and to keep these same clowns in office again to do you in.
Well, thanks for calling, Sarah. Thanks for
your
very lucid contribution. And this is why one of the tactics may just be if people stall, in the same way that they're demanding things from each other, the consumers ought to be demanding a thorough explanation and before they do any signing up. So just don't do anything until there is a thorough discussion of what this health care is. Thanks again. Eric from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrecht.
Hi.
I haven't called in a little while, but I've been listening to all your shows. They're fantastic. And, you know, they're really resonating with me. And it's basically a lot of what you've been saying is what I've been saying when I call in, you know, about my feeling that the Democrats are the more evil party because they're the ones that have deceived so many people. And, you know, I mean, it's also the people are also to blame for their ignorance. But the Democrats are so smooth and so just so expert at making people feel like, you know, they're participating in something great. They make people sign up for these, you know, these atrocious bills, you know, and they're so destructive. We see where the Republicans are at. But the Democrats, Obama with this health care bill, you don't have to read much of it to know that it's no good, to know that it's you know, the impact of this bill on people that are above water. That's the super rich can buy what the hell they want. The super poor don't have adequate care, but they have something. But it's the people in between, the people that are working so hard, the people that are trying to stay above water and not be dependent on the government, that are going to be forced to sink. And this is the destruction of this country and the people in this country. And the worst part of it is that the people are going to pay for their own destruction. The people are going to support these bills. The people are going to support these people. And it's so tragic. You know, it's so tragic.
If this had happened in another country, you would hear the echoes of, well, this is what totalitarianism is, and the state is running everything, okay?
Exactly.
Here we have the state unapologetically basically taking up the role of insurer. The state is running the insurance industry, which it has refused to regulate. And now it's deciding that, okay, not only are we going to, you know, maintain that kind of a novel regulation going, but we're going to be full-blown in the business. And now you have a question.
Uh-huh.
When state decides that it's going to take Company A or Company B, then the state technically is also breaching this notion of fair competition. Because
We know that there's no such thing. You look at what happened to Lehman Brothers and the banking system. All of those banks should have failed. Everyone knows that. All of those banks should have failed because they're crooks. They're crooked entities. They, you know, when they were swindling everybody and profiting from it, we heard nothing about it. The people that were suffering suffered in silence. You know, when they lost their own gambling, you know, when they lost Everybody had to suffer. Everybody had to hear about it. Everybody had to sympathize with them. You know, these are crooks, and the government is in the business of supporting the crooks. You know, and when we look at the situation, I think people are not really focused in. You know, we hear the institutions were bailed out. We hear the banks were bailed out. No, it's the people that had assets in the banks. So we have to look at the super wealthy. We don't, you know, it's kind of abstract the way the media, the propaganda goes, because all the, you know, Chase was bailed out and you know, Citigroup, Citibank was bailed out. No, it's the people that have money that got more, you know. So these institutions are just like the front companies.
You have a fantastic read of the situation. Let me ask you, do you recall at any time, you know, in the last couple of years, since they say, well, okay, it was all the way back in 2010 and whatnot, they're telling us about this bill and, it, and its permutations through Congress and the Senate. Do you recall any committee basically presenting or taking testimony or hearing about any aspect of any of the components of this bill? Do you recall having to turn on a television or a radio because they're discussing the changes that are coming in the health care bill and, you know, some panel or the other is holding hearings? Do you remember any of that being done?
No, other than PRN and you know, some of the alternatives, you know.
I don't remember any committee.
No committee. There was no, and this is why. I'm studying psychology. In my classes, you know, I kept bringing this up because these professors are feeding these children. You know, these professors are feeding these students, the next generation. I have an economics class. It was the economy economics professor was telling the students to invest in Wall Street. Look at the Wall Street and look at how it's going up and down. And I'm in the class stunned because this is right after the whole, you know, downturn of the economy. This is after the disaster that they've caused in the world. Here are these professionals, so-called doctors, so-called teachers, advocating for the very destruction of the people that they're supposed to be changing, helping to change their minds, helping to open their minds. And this is the main problem in this country. You know, the people that are the leaders, the people that, and not the politicians, the people that are supposed to be the teachers, they're all co-opted. They've all bought into the inhumanity that this system creates. You know, it's a dehumanization of the American society, the American people, in where they cannot really fathom, you know, looking at things, living things, people, animals, the environment, and consider it worth protecting, consider it worth advocating for. You have the gay rights, you know, and I talk to people, what good is your gay rights if you can't drink your water? You know, what good is civil rights if we can't eat the food? I mean, these are things that come above, you know, these are things that come above all our individual problems. You know, it's to stop these people from destroying their insanity, from destroying the everything, you know, and they take away. You look at all of the countries that are suffering in this world right now. The elites take everything. They leave nothing. I mean, they take from their own kids. You look at Obama, what kind of world are you creating for your beloved daughters, you know? You look at his wife, the evil people, and you're supporting these people, you know? And it's so tragic, you know?
I hear you, and I think the thing is, I mean, the Republicans express their side, and the Democrats express their side, and I think the people need to express their side and say, you know, until we know exactly what this beast is, we're not part of it. We just are not. The real process to occur, and the real process should be that it should be, what's that word again? Was it transparent? Is that the word? Yeah, that's the word. Transparent.
Yeah.
Thanks
absolutely.
So much, Eric.
No, thank you for your show.
You have a strong and accurate reading of the situation, I must say. Thanks so much for your call. We go now to Los Angeles. You're on the air, DX.
Hello, Utrecht. How are you today?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
Good, good.
Despite the conspiracy out there, I'm still fine.
Despite what? I didn't hear you.
Despite the conspiracy against us, I'm still fine.
That's exactly what it is, too. I want to give kudos to you, and also I want to tell people, you know, support PRN, because we don't have many of these networks like this. I'm struck by, first of all of the so-called progressives. I mean, I listen to talk shows, read articles, and all of these things, who are on board with this. People who I never thought, I mean, you mentioned Bernie Sanders, but the people that I listen to that have always been great and progressive and just forward-thinking and just right on so many things, and they're encouraging people to support this and to sign up for it. I mean, I was struck because why are we having on the left? It seems like we're just everybody's getting enveloped in this support this because it's a good thing, and they're not telling, they're leaving out all the facts of what's wrong with this thing, you know, and
or just what is this thing? We still don't know
exactly
what it is.
Right, and they're encouraging people to go get involved, like you said, in something that we have no idea what this beast is. I mean, we're going to have to find out the results later. But, you know, I wanted to say also, Hugh, who called yesterday, I mean, he evoked the same thing in me that he did in you and many other people, I'm sure, because we weren't quite getting to the crux of what we were feeling. But he broke it down. And at that moment, I said, you know what? This man here has a point, and he's hit it right on the head. I mean, this is about...
I thought so. I mean, that word, I told you, it
right
reverberated with me. That word, debasement.
Debasement. The debasement of
fantastic
our whole...
Word.
And I would take it farther and say they don't want this just in the United States. They want it all over the world. They want corporations to control the, quote-unquote, governmental workings of all everything. And this is the plan. So what they're doing, they're putting pressure, you know, like they're already starting to talk about that thing that happened in Nairobi as a breakdown of government intelligence where they didn't keep track of certain people and things like that. So now they're going to probably go, well, we need to bring private companies in to do this instead. And I think this is exactly where they're going with this, you know. And what we said earlier about our government here in the United States, the people, we don't have a government. What we have is like, you remember wrestling back in the day?
Sure. Chief J. Strongbow and Bruno Sammartino were my favorites.
Right. Where you would have like Hulk Hogan, and then you would have whoever the opponent was, and they'd be on camera going, I'm going to really get you, and I don't like you, and when I get you in the ring, you're going to really feel the pain. This is what we have. Because with the exception of a very few of these people in our government, including the House, the Senate, and whatever, with the exception of just a very, very few, they're on the same team. They all co-opted and bought, and they're all working to the same end. It's just that the Democrats have to be the ones to pretend like, well, we're standing up for the people, and we don't like you, and, you know, if you do this and do that, and the Republicans have to be the spoilers. They have to be the ones that go, well, we don't like you doing this, so we're going to stop this over here, too, because this is bad. So, no, we're not going to play ball with you. So it's all just acting is what it is. It's just, like I said, it's like wrestling. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, it's not wrestling. It's wrestling. This is now wrestling. Even lower than wrestling. This is wrestling.
It's wrestling.
Yes.
No, but I thought that Hugh hit it right on the head, and that's where we need to just focus more on the big picture instead of little things when they come along. I mean, they're already, you know, making it so they want to push these, like, legislations to get rid of our people's guns and, you know, things like that. And I'm not a gun nut or anything, but they're just trying to break down all of our defenses where we have no
option. But in the meantime, I understand that we have to get the big picture, but in the meantime, we have to act. And there are ways that we can act to basically be the third leg of this tripod, and that is they are after the numbers. They got to get the numbers. And
right.
Just
they
hold off. Just hold off until we find a way to compel this government to understand that there is a system of government here. You don't just
right.
sit down in a room and concoct legislation and, you know,
right.
you have the industry write the legislation for you. And then you say, okay, we've got the solution, and here it is. Now, all we need are the numbers. You see, this is the thing about politics, and this is where
right.
regular, ordinary folk have leverage, but we don't exercise it.
Exercise.
The leverage here is all of this is being calculated on people fitting into this thing as cogs in a pre-designed wheel. Just go in and, you know, they push you in a grinder. You
right.
don't have to know what the deal is. You just have to believe and trust in what they say. And it is not, to be very honest, it is so much more sophisticated than they think. They think people should just be thinking the way they are thinking, which is, what's in it for me? But the conversation we have been having here, even in the short time on this air, the conversation we've been having just today is all about, what's the big picture? This is where the people are way ahead of those folks. The people
right.
at ground level are saying, I know what you think it's in for me, but what is the big picture here? And
right.
how will, in my joining this thing, what basically would then be my responsibility for putting in motion something else that is not in the interest of the greater good? So the ordinary
right.
people who they think should be so obsessed about what's in it for me, they're asking, what's the big picture?
Right.
And that tells you they're way ahead of the so-called leadership here.
Oh, they are.
Way ahead.
And let me ask you something. Okay, do you think that, because like you said, it's absolutely right what you said. They need the numbers. They need for
yep.
us to basically do ourselves in. I mean, not only with this health care bill, but with everything else, they need the numbers. They need people to participate in their own demise, the way the caller before me said. Now, do you think that's, I mean, why are so many people, back to my original point, about so many people on the left, so-called, being on board with this and not, I mean, leaving out facts, not telling people things? I mean, why do you think that is?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, nobody really knows what the heck this bill is. It is thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pages.
Hmm.
We don't know what it is. We know only certain aspects of it. We don't know what the heck this whole bill is. We can't afford a copy. If you were to
right.
ask for a copy of this bill, you can't afford it.
This whole thing reminds me so much of, like, the movie 1984. I mean, they want all of us just to be lemmings and just go along with it without even knowing.
That's what the bill is.
Right.
The bill is just show up and fit. You know, just jump into an available hole, and that's basically what they're saying. They have
right.
it planned so that they need the numbers. I don't care what they say. The key to this thing working is the lemmings.
Right.
And we are acting like lemmings. We should just
well,
do
that.
Well, no. I'm saying, you know, as the people generally.
Right.
We're acting
people,
as
right.
lemmings. They tell us, oh, we got to sign up. No, don't sign up. Because
right.
this government has to have accountability, and it has to have transparency. And
right.
this particular president, this is why he is so treacherous. This is
right.
why he has to be watched and has to be publicly condemned.
because he has not. He's gone to these communities. He knows where to find black people to encourage them to do the things that is predetermined. He does not have a history of coming to the community to explain what it is he's doing. And there's no accountability. You know, you trot out Jesse Jackson and you trot out Al Sharpton, which is this should be profoundly upsetting to people.
Right.
We don't need translators. We don't need that. You have a plan. Let us know what your plan is saying. But no committee has discussed this. The president hasn't explained anything.
This thing is chock so full of just things that are detrimental to the average American, that if he did that, if they actually did that, they know that hardly anybody would go for it.
That we will see what the plan is, and the plan is that ultimately it is the great, I thank you, Hugh, for that word, the debasement of people.
Right.
They've been offended, now it's downright debasement. You don't need to know. You don't have the brains to figure this out. You don't really, you're not thinking people, so you can't make wise decisions for yourself. We have it all set up for you. All you need to pretend we still are democratic, just jump in, sign up, quick.
And as Hugh stated as well, everything these corporations do is the same way. It's geared to, the debasement of government and getting in there and having all the people participate in their own, destruction, pretty much.
Unbelievable.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you so much, DX. Thanks for your call today.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Green from Baltimore. You're on.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I hope you're fine, too.
Yes, I am. No need to complain. Are you well, Eutrice? Because maybe it's a distortion of your voice coming over the air, but you sound different today.
Oh, well, I'm doing the program by phone today because they're tinkering with some of the system to fine-tune it. So we're doing by phone today.
So you're well?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good, because you are a treasure, Eutrice.
Aren't we all? We all are. Thanks.
Well, the last time I talked to you, I addressed you as Miss Leave, but I prefaced my remarks with a reference to Nzinga's chair, and I didn't know if you got the reference or not, but Nzinga was a queen of
Warrior Queen.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am, and she had a meeting with some Portuguese officials, and they didn't offer her a chair.
Yes,
and her members of her guard or her escort formed a human chair for her.
That's right.
And you had a guest on, Jeffrey Perry.
Yes,
and I think manners required that I address him as Mr. Perry, and I certainly couldn't address him as Mr. Perry and not address you as Miss Lee. So that's I would never want to violate any of your wishes.
No, not at all. I'm your treat to everybody.
Yeah, except when you have a guest with me. I prefer to sleep well at night. Eutrice, I didn't call to talk about this, but I think that one of the things that Obamacare does is allows people who might not otherwise be able to afford it to get to have health maintenance, to see a doctor. And Sarah just says she has a checkup 12 times a year. And by the way, she's one of my favorite callers. But there are a lot of people who don't ever go to see a doctor until they have something seriously wrong with them. And a lot of times by the time they get to see someone, it's too late to, you know, save their lives.
Right.
So I would rather wait and see how this works out, because we always criticize this president for not doing anything for poor people. And if this benefits poor people, then I might have to cut him some slack on this. And I understand, you know, that it was a strong-arm deal, and, you know, it was done in a way that we might not prefer. But I think that, to a certain extent, you know, there wasn't any choice in the matter. But what I really wanted to talk about...
You're running really, really tight. In fact, we should be closing off very shortly. So
okay. Well, you know what? I'll try to call back another time. Unfortunately, you're on when I'm usually when I'm working, and there's always a lot of noise in the background. So anyway, but thank you for allowing me to call. Oh, one other thing, Clara, of
Clara,
from,
I said the wrong word.
Yeah, she was the one that you referenced earlier.
Yes, thank you.
But she said something about, she had called Al Sharpton.
There's the music. It's queued up, and they're playing my music, which means I've got to go. So I'm so sorry, but we will continue the conversation, Green, from Baltimore. We certainly will. Thank you all for calling and being so enlightening in your contributions today. We always benefit at that level of conversation where we trade information, and this is why I like open forum. Thanks so much. Great program ahead for tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned right here to PRN.FM. We'll see each other tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tell everybody you know, tomorrow's a great day. Bye-bye. You know, time is hard.